Welcome one and all once again to Dual World in episode 84. We're joined this week by our panel of gamers. We have Daniel.
Oh.
Who's going to get himself some KFC after we're done. Hopefully we don't hold up him and his roommates too much. We have Anthony.
Hey, I just saw Taken 2.
How was that?
Well, I mean, it's 19% on Rotten Tomatoes for a reason. I mean, it was okay. It obviously wasn't better than the first, and I'm not going to buy it, so...
Okay. Just real quick, and is it one of those sequels that's too much of a sequel? Like when sometimes you have movies and they come out and it's basically the same as the first movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, they take things in different directions, but I mean it's a money grab. Like there are parts that'll make you smile, and there are a couple parts that say, okay, that's badass. But I mean, half of it's because you're expecting it to be so. You know, you have high expectations on what Liam Neeson can do in that role. But there are just more things that weren't believable. There is a considerable more amount of cheese in this one. But, you know, it's okay. Apparently it opened, it's the third best opening box office movie. October, excuse me.
Okay. Because it doesn't compete with anything this summer, but yeah. And
for me, that movie, the warning lights went off when I saw that the certificate was lower than the first one.
What was lower?
The certificate. So in over here, the first one's an 18, and the second one is a 12A, so it means that kids under than 12 can go as long as they're accompanied by an adult.
Yeah, I think it was 13 here, and they had an unedited version they released on DVD and Blu-ray that had the scenes like, for example, Brian Mills jabbing stakes into people's thighs and electrocuting them in the movie, and at least in the American movie, that was just his they just attached it to the chair. So they dumbed it down a little bit, but yeah, this one is, I think, guess worldwide 13 or 12 or whatever it is.
It's one of those things where you just kind of paid at a box office because it's a lot harder to have a successful rated R movie.
Yep.
But yeah, we won't talk about it too much because I haven't seen it yet. I do want to see it, but I don't have high expectations for it. And I think the first one was just one of those movies that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that's true.
But before we get completely sidetracked, let's also introduce James.
Evening, gentlemen.
So yes, aside
from introductions.
Yay. Aside from movies that came out this week, we've also been playing some games. I don't think anybody here is playing anything newish.
If you count Mario DLC new.
Oh, that is new. Especially for Nintendo.
Right.
So let's start off with that.
Okay. Well, I've only bought the third one. As you probably heard, there were three track packs, or three little packs of Coin Rush DLC released for New Super Mario Bros. 2, which is Nintendo's first foray into paid downloadable content, and there's
in America.
And there's the first pack was very, very easy. It's just called Get Gold, pretty much. The second one is 3 out of 5 difficulty, which is Get Gold, but add a little bit of fun into it. And then the last one, which is the one I bought, I'm probably going to get number 2 eventually, but the last one is the Nerve Rack pack. And contrary to what people will say, it is not Super Meat Boy hard. It is difficult. It'll take you a few tries to get through them, but once you have the pattern down, it's not too difficult. There's 3 levels, if you're not familiar. This isn't like DLC. This isn't more levels for the main game. It's for Coin Rush, which means that you have a limited amount of time to collect as many coins as you can, but in this most difficult track pack, or a Nerve Rack pack, you just have to get to the level alive. So the first one you guys know that, like, Super Mario Bros. 3, when you hit a little switch, blocks become coins, and coins become blocks, that switch, for, like, a certain amount of time?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this whole level is. The whole floor is coins, and you hit the switch, and you have to run through the entire level and make it to the next switch before the timer runs out so you can hit the switch again so the floor doesn't fall out from underneath you. The second of the 3 levels is basically it's a level where you have to jump on Koopas to get from platform to platform. But if you put on a little gold fire flower, that will let you get 5 coins and then multiply coins with everyone you hit. So you can feasibly get through the whole level by only jumping on Koopas, and then for everyone you hit after like four, it's 50 coins, 50 coins, 50 coins, 50 coins for, I don't know, 12, 15 Koopas if you get to the end. And then the last one is one of those where Mario runs on his own and all you have to do is jump, but there's no floor underneath you. You're just having to jump on bullet bills that are traveling with you. And that, again, is also a 50 coins, 50 coins, 50 coins. So the challenge is to just to get, I mean, you can get through it probably easy enough, but the challenge is obviously to get through with as many coins as you can. And that's why I've actually been spending a good amount of time with it. So bravo, Nintendo.
Okay, just real quick, because this isn't the one with the leaderboard, right?
I know that there's a leaderboard for the second one. I'd have to check for number three.
I think it's stupid that they're doing it for part of the Coin Rush mode, but how is the process of it? Because if I'm not mistaken, you don't actually buy the DLC. You have to buy the DLC in the actual game.
That's right. So,
that's,
I mean,
interesting.
It was actually kind of difficult to do because I was, you know, when I heard about it, I went and looked in the eShop really, really, you know, right when I wanted to buy it, and it wasn't there. Nothing about it was there, not even news. So I was confused, and then apparently the only way that's activated is if you have Spot Pass activated in the game, then it will send you a message saying, hey, you can buy DLC in New Super Mario Brothers. And once you get that message, you can go in the game, and it'll be available by in Coin Rush mode.
Okay, so it seems, I mean, it's, I like that they're going forward with it, but it does seem like they still have some running to do, because it seems a bit crummy. Because also, Coin Rush is something that isn't accessed until you beat the first world, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
So you have to be part of the game, and then you have to have your own... I mean, it makes sense if it's an online feature, but you have to have online on, but you also have to have Spot Pass on for this game.
Yes.
But I think it's on by default, right? Or do you have to trigger that?
It's on by who?
Default.
Spot Pass? I'm not sure. Because I had to turn mine on.
Oh, okay. I thought it was on by default for most of these games.
Yeah.
I know Street Pass usually is. So, okay. Good to see that you're enjoying that. And it sounds like they need to work on their process. Hopefully something they have system-wide for the Wii U launch.
Yeah. How much are those map packs?
It's $2.50 a pack.
That's not bad.
No, I think they priced it at the point where it's cheap enough to be an impulse, and it's not too expensive where people kind of question the fact that they only get three levels for a specific mode in the game.
Yeah, because if it was just three levels and that's it, yeah, it would be a waste of money. But the Coin Rush type thing with the high scores and whatever, there's a little bit more value, particularly in the third one. I'm going to try the second one probably this week. But I don't think I'm going to bother with the first.
And they sell it as a pack, but that doesn't come as a discount, right?
Yeah, they say you can buy all three for the group pack of $7.50. Like, oh, really?
See, like, if they did that, especially being that it's such an odd price, and they should just go, like, $7 or something, so you get some type of discount.
Yeah, I was just thinking, like, if they priced all of them together at $6, I would buy all three.
Yeah. But, like I said, growing pains and all that other stuff. What about you, James? Have you been playing anything new and exciting?
Not in terms of actual games, but I did just finish up Black Mesa yesterday.
You want to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. For anyone who doesn't know, a couple of years back when Half-Life 2 came out, some guys started working on a mod for the Source Engine to recreate the original Half-Life with then-modern graphics.
May I say, by couple, he means about eight.
Yes, probably. And so they've been working on that for several years. At this point, I had pretty much written it off as probably not going to happen. But then earlier this year, a couple screenshots got released and some more video footage, and they announced that, hey, it's finally done. Well, kind of. The last two chapters of the game aren't finished yet in the Alien World's End, but they're going to be adding that later. And it's pretty impressive, considering all things considered. Like, it doesn't look like a modern game. It looks like something more 2004-05-ish. But it definitely looks really nice in terms of enhancing the visuals of something from 98, And it also really demonstrates how well a lot of the old mechanics hold up. I mean, there are certain aspects of the level design where it feels very dated, especially in a lot of the platforming puzzles, but overall, I'm really impressed.
That's cool. And, I mean, do you think there's any chance of this getting a wider release, or will Valve not pick that up?
Apparently, it's been greenlit for Steam already, so when that actually happens or not, we don't know. So it's a case of if you own a Source Engine game and have access to SDK Base 2007, you just click download and it downloads on Steam.
Okay, most other companies would kind of shut them down because nobody likes that apparently. I remember when Nintendo does it all the time, but I remember there was a Sonic HD remake that Sega shut down as well.
Yeah.
I think partially because it looked more interesting in the Sonic 4 at that point.
Yeah, and I remember the guys that were doing that gorgeous Chrono Trigger remake.
What? Well, Square has to keep on selling you that game somehow.
Yeah.
It's odd that the one game that they can probably resell people, no matter how often they do it, they haven't done anything with Final Fantasy VII, but we're not opening up that can of worms. What about you, Daniel?
I'm still playing Borderlands 2, and it's still a really good game, and I still love it. If that counts as a new game.
I mean, I guess your opinion hasn't changed from last week then?
No, it hasn't.
Anything that you want to add?
Where's my DLC gearbox? Give me it now. I've bought you Season Pass despite not liking the idea of Season Passes. Give me your DLC.
How much is the Season Pass?
It's $25.
Oh, that's not bad.
$30. I bought it mainly because in the UK, at the very least, when they put it on Steam, they messed the price up, so it was £9 instead of 20, which is what it's supposed to be. And I was like, okay, I'm buying that.
That's wonderful.
I ended up getting the entire game and the whole game and all the DLC in the season pass for the equivalent of $40 before the game had already released.
Well, this is why sales are awesome.
It wasn't even through sales, though. Like,
yeah, I was going to say mess ups, but...
I want my DLC. I don't care if the game's only been out, like, 3 weeks or whatever. Just give it to me.
I was going to say, because gamers always complain when DLC's out, like, this close to launch, because...
I want it now.
It should have been...
I want to finish the second playthrough, and then I want... By the time I finish the second playthrough, I want more stuff to do.
Okay, well, DLC is such an odd thing to time, but we'll talk about that in a second. And finally, I mentioned this last week, but I picked up Azeroth's Wrath because I needed something to redeem the fact that Capcom made Resident Evil 6. And I'm not 100% sure what I think of this game yet. I think I'm a little more than halfway through, if I'm not mistaken. There's something like 18 chapters. I just finished the 10th one. And it's kind of in the same boat as Heavy Rain for me, in that it's not much of a game as it is an interactive anime. Which isn't 100% true, because there are segments where you have direct control of your character, mostly just fighting segments. But...
I still want the Heavy Rain. Really.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but for the most part, it's usually like, you'll probably have each, it's broken up into, and I don't even want to say, it's broken up into episodes, because, and this is what really draws me to the game as far as design goes, it's kind of modeled after an anime series, so every episode has like a halfway point, and you get, you know, like if you watch an anime, you get that commercial break in the middle, and they have like that still frame that recaps, and then it comes back from commercial, and they have another still frame, so it has that, which is kind of cool. And then each episode has about two major fights, with one of them being a boss battle. And for the most part, the fights play out the same way. You just kind of, it's a basic beat 'em up, and you fight until you fill up your gauge for his burst meter, which is basically him going Super Saiyan. And pretty much that's how you have to end every fight. So it's just basically pounding away on dudes until you get your meter up that high. So it does kind of get repetitious after a while, but the game also, you know, like, since everything's pretty much a boss battle, they mix it up by having different types of enemy. I think they're called Gomen, and they're basically like giant other creatures, I guess. And there's like, I fought an elephant one, I fought a turtle one, I didn't fight the whale one. The whale one was just a cutscene. So there's various types of these. And in addition to those types of enemies, Azura is one of the gods, one of the eight gods of that, you know, something like that. And he's kicked out of heaven, or their version of heaven, I think the end of the first chapter. So you're also fighting those characters as boss battles. And they offer interesting challenges as well. But in between these fight segments, which probably go on for maybe 5 to 6 minutes, it's basically just story, and then it's full of quick time events that you have to trigger. And I mean, you can't fill quick time events as far as I know. I haven't yet anyhow, but they do have it timing based, so you have to time it well. And at the end of the chapter, you get a score based on how well you align your quick time button press in with the events of the game. So that's one reason to actually pay attention to it instead of just having the game play out itself. Like I said, the design is cool. The production is really neat. It's a very different type of game because it is kind of based on the traditional anime setup. So every episode kind of ends with a preview of the next episode and a recap of what happened before. You kind of get like, in-betweens, which are like, it's still frames, but it's spoken words on what's happening with outside of your main character. So it's a lot of interesting design decisions, just not much of a game there. I'm not really going to complain too much, though. I spent $15 on it, and I think it's worth the money. I don't think I would have bought or enjoyed this at $60, though.
So I have to ask, does it emulate the Dragon Ball style of 20 episodes worth of training in between fight scenes?
You actually do training, but it's usually in flashbacks because one of the things is because of how they tell the story is how the time passes. Like, your character, he's a demigod, so he gets knocked out. And when he gets knocked out, he really gets knocked out. So the first time he gets knocked out, I think something like 1,500 years pass. And then the second time, I think it's only 500 years. So there's a huge gap. But they go back, and like one of the other gods was his trainer when he got into the whatever. So you train with him. And, I mean, most of the fights are actually flashbacks as well. So it's an interesting mechanic, but no, it's not him. Well, I haven't gotten to the point yet where he's like training with what is the guy in that Goku trains with to fight Frieza?
King Kai.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to my King Kai. Though there is a spider who's kind of like your mentor when you fall, and he forces you to climb back up and fight. But other than that, there's no like actual training segments to get stronger. So yes, that's Azura's Wrath. I will finish it healthy tonight at this rate. So yeah. If there's nothing else, that means we're up to news. Oh, just real quick, did anybody download the Medal of Honor demo? Beta? I don't know what they're calling it right now.
Nope.
Okay. You all sound so enthusiastic for it.
I can't wait for green, brown, gray, modern military shooter 25.
Medal of Honor Gun Shooter, I believe is the subtitle, right?
Gun Shooter.
It's curious enough, is it Warfighter?
Yeah.
Which I still can't believe, I still don't believe is a real name. It sounds like a parrot, that and Warface, saying something you kind of create to make fun of shooters.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing you'd see on a Law and Order episode.
Yeah, and I'm like, what does he do? He fights Warfighter. We got it. Yes.
Done.
And there's probably some marketing genius who's like running around in circles celebrating his brilliant idea.
They just have a dartboard of stock words they put together for each subtitle.
Well, that is true. I mean, there are words that kind of hit often in gaming. Like, last year, Sky was a big one. Sky was Sword, Skyrim, Skylanders. This year, it's kind of they asked Guardian, they asked of us, they asked Story. So, the Ask Sky game is out next year. But yes, on to news. And we might as well start here. I really, really, really hate picking on Sony. But at times, they make
it... They asked for it. This time, they asked for it.
So, Sony is suing Jeremy... What is his last name? Jerry Lambert, better known to the gaming world as Kevin Butler, for appearing in a Bridgestone commercial which has a cross-promotion with Nintendo to advertise a contest to win a... No, not to win a Wii, but to get a Wii or $70, something like that. And I'm not 100% sure. The details are still kind of sketchy. I don't know, because I think people are saying it's not a breach of contract, but it's for gimmick infringement.
Sony did issue an official statement about this, right? And the statement that they made was pertaining to, I don't have the exact wording, but it was pertaining to the amount of money that they invested in, obviously, the character of Kevin Butler and how he basically was PlayStation's marketing campaign and he was the face of PlayStation and how they didn't want to create confusion in the market. And it's like, yeah, but he's not Kevin Butler in the Bridgestone adverts. He's obviously not. And he barely says a word, actually, in the Bridgestone adverts.
Have we discussed, like, has anyone found out whether in Sony's contract, because it's the same way that they would have with a lot of marketing people, like, you know, the person that's the, can you hear me now, Verizon? You wouldn't see that guy in an AT&T ad, even if he was playing a different character. Like, most of the time when they write down a marketing, you know, contract like that, they would say, even after your tenure is up with us, you cannot advertise anything for any of our competitors.
Yeah, and I think that isn't known yet, and I assume, but that was the thing, though, is that it's not a breach of contract. That's not what they're suing for. They're suing for the use of his likeness, which is something different.
Oh, and he's not directly advertising for Nintendo.
No, he isn't. He's advertising
for Bridgestone, when they make
who's
tiles.
Running a Nintendo it's not even actually advertising the Wii itself. It's advertising a contest that the company's holding, that the Wii's a prize in, but he does end up actually playing the Wii in the commercial, which I think is the point that they're, you know, kind of they're gravitating towards. But yeah, I guess like Daniel said, it's not, let's see, the correct word is, we invested significant resources in bringing the Kevin Butler character to life, and he's become an iconic personality directly associated with the PlayStation products over the years. Use of the Kevin Butler character to sell products other than those from PlayStation misappropriates Sony's intellectual property, creates confusion in the market, and causes damage to Sony. So, yes, they're not suing because he broke his contract, but they're suing because Jerry Lambert looks like Kevin Butler in a commercial for Bridgestone, which is advertising a Wii product.
Well, if Jerry Lambert was, you know, by contract not allowed to go do any commercials, advertise any competitors, then obviously there would be a problem here. But if it's just because of his likeness and the character is advertising something with Nintendo on it, that's dumb. You can look through Jerry Lambert's ads for, I forget, he did it for some hotel, and he was the same hilarious comedic personality there too.
Yeah, I mean, granted, the Kevin Butler character has kind of become synonymous, but how much of it is Kevin Butler and how much of it is this guy? Like, I actually haven't seen the commercial, but is he acting like Kevin? I don't know if he speaks in the commercial.
Yeah, he says a couple things, but you don't see, like, hey, that's him acting like Kevin Butler. Link I just posted is a funny one. It's Holiday Inn. He used to do Holiday Inn stuff. If listeners want to see him in some older stuff, just look up Jerry Lambert Holiday Inn.
Yeah, and again, it's like he's doing the Kevin Butler character, so it seems like that's the type of character he goes for. I understand from Sony's point of view, they have spent, I think he's been around the company for about 3 years as their main marketing mascot, or whatever you want to call it, but they actually haven't used him this year, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's the whole issue with this whole lawsuit, but he hasn't tweeted, and I think since August.
Yeah,
hey, do you guys remember Marcus PSP?
This is it. Is, like, what they're doing is they're not using...
Like I said before, Sony's PR this year has kind of been disastrous. We've talked about this recently. They just fired their entire internal PR division sometime in September. And this is another step. I mean, one, you can't knock down a guy who's supposed to be your marketing icon. But it kind of looks petty on their end that they're suing him for this. I understand why they're doing it, but it does kind of come off as a shallow victory, even if they do win.
Well, because it's gonna. If anything, this is probably gonna do more damage than the guy appearing in an advert for Bridgestone.
Yeah, and I think it does more damage already because, I mean, yes, he's appeared in this commercial, but now it draws more attention to it, and it makes it a much bigger deal, and then people start to look at it. And I think, I mean, people associate him with the PlayStation brand, but I also think a lot of people don't really know the difference between consoles like that in commercials. Like, they see a guy advertising a video game, and they just assume it's a video game. I mean, I think part of the problem is that the commercials also advertise a Mario Kart, and Kevin Butler is a, I think he's a pre-order bonus, and you're the Big Planet Carden.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that possibly creating some confusion, because if he's in another race, mascot race, and he's advertising the major competition, that people might just think it's a Mario Kart game, and if they go to the store asking for the new Mario Kart, they probably end up getting like Mario Kart 7. But what can you do? I'm kind of curious to see how this fades out. I mean, Sony's making a case. I don't know how well it's going to go over, but there we go.
That remains to be seen.
At this point, can they really damage their brand anymore?
Well, let's put it this way. It doesn't matter whether they can or not. It's a good idea if they tried not to.
I hope they're trying not to. These things just happen to fall into their apps. But yes, I mean, on the other side of Sony, they announced that a Resistance collection is coming out this winter. I want to say December. I don't think they actually announced the release date. Thoughts on this?
We've got no new games for you, so here are some old ones again.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of collections and HD re-releases, but at this point, I think Sony has almost released all of their major franchises in some type of pack.
And again, it would have been a cool thing to bundle with the new PS3s, but they're not doing that. So,
well, that would be. I mean, bundling M-rated games are always such a hassle because it adds an extra, like, you have to double check this and that. But yeah, they could have had a bundle that's like Little Big Planet 1 and 2, and then had a bundle that's like Resistance 1, 2, and 3, or the Trilogy. And yeah, it would have helped them out throughout the holidays. But yeah, at this point, I don't honestly care when they announce these things. They've had, what is it, they've done Ratchet & Clank, they did Psy, they did God of War, they did God of War again, they're doing God of War a third time. They've done, I think Uncharted has this trilogy pack coming out. They've done, I think they did Jak and Daxter. So yeah, they've pretty much done all of their major franchises, and at this point, it's just, it's already an HD game, so it's just like, here's three games that you might have already played in one terrific package for you. Yay. So yes, that's Resistance Collection. This is a weird but interesting story. I don't know if any of you saw this, but Namco is asking fans to vote on a Pac-Man design for his next game.
More people should do this.
I think the problem is that it can go either way, because if you end up asking fans for feedback at times, you might end up with views.
Yeah, but I think, like, if it's something like an art style, then there's obviously, there's going to be one thing. I mean, I don't know if you noticed them, but they're all fairly similar anyway.
Yeah, but they do have a nice artistic.
Yeah.
It really defeats the purpose because you can't see it on air. But like, there's A, which is kind of polygonal, which looks like what the models that the new cartoon's going to be based on. B is kind of like a more stretchy old school cartoon where he has, I don't know why he has legs in all of these, but C is kind of more of like a Tex Avery style animation, if anybody gets that reference. And D is just kind of a... D is, I think, the most different of them all. It's kind of like a cool, jazzy look to it.
I voted for A.
I voted for C.
Because they seem to be the really popular ones among people at the moment, A and C.
Yeah, A, I think, is because it's what you kind of expect from a video game, and I think C is a style that's different, but it's not offensive.
Yeah.
So it works. But yeah, I think, you know, it would be cool, like, if Capcom ever gets around to making another Mega Man game. I think it would be kind of cool if they did this instead. Yeah, like, Mega Man 9 and 10 were cool that they went retro, but it'd be nice if they had, like, we're going to do a new Mega Man arcade title. Like, we want to show you some options for this. I'm sure people would love it if Nintendo did that with the new Super Mario Brothers series as well.
Yeah, wasn't that sort of the idea what Capcom was doing with Legends 3, in a way?
Yeah, they did have fans vote on that. And then they canceled the game, so
yeah.
That's really... That's how you build fan confidence in your product. So yes, I guess Capcom has tried it before. But I think it's kind of cool, and I think the voting stood up on Facebook. I don't know when it closes exactly. But yeah, check it out.
It means that we got some new take on Pac-Man coming up soon in some form, so that'll be interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, and it looks like they have their options open. I mean, they're asking what, like, if you want it on smartphones, if you want it on tablets, if you want it on consoles, if you want it on PC or Mac. Or if you want to be a douche, you can say, I do not play casual games. Like, why would you vote on this then? Even though, when did Pac-Man become a casual title?
Maybe they'll make a hard, quote-unquote, hardcore Pac-Man with aim-down sights and quick-scoping.
So you want a Bomberman 02?
Ooh.
Yeah. That's exactly what we need.
I don't think anybody wants to remember Bomberman 0.
Like, Wayfarm Bound at Commando.
Around it happened.
Actually, Bomberman would be another franchise that would be kind of cool to have this type of vote on, as long as one of the votes isn't for a gritty third-person shooter. So yes, you need to check that out. Ubisoft announced the Assassin's Creed Season Pass, as well as the first DLC for the title, which is...
Wait, is the game out yet?
Yes, and that's kind of the reaction people had. It's like... You're announcing DLC 3 weeks before this game's actually out. Like, it's not just like, you know, some people are like, okay, we'll have DLC, we're gonna have, like, you know, we're gonna have, like, a single player campaign in, like, 2 weeks. No, this is like, here's a story, it continues the game, here's a breakdown of it, we're good to go. And it's like, yeah, at that point, you're pretty much just taking stuff that either could have been in the game, or stuff that you didn't want to put in the game so that you could sell it separately. And that's when people kind of take offense to it.
Yep. I mean, like, for some game, yeah, it was probably obvious it was going to have DLC anyway, but you don't need to tell us about it before the games come out!
Yeah, it's like, it's a double-edged sword, because you want to... You said with Borderlands that you want the DLC, not you beat the game and you're going through your second playthrough. So you kind of want to time DLC so that it's there when people are kind of finishing the game so they have a reason to continue playing it. But if you announce it too early, then it's kind of looks like, you know what, like, I'm not getting a full package, I'm not getting the full deal here. And it's a very tight line for... publishers to walk, and I don't think anybody has really gotten it yet. I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
I mean, even with Borderlands, like they said that, you know, you pre-order the game, you get the Premier Club access, and you get, like, the first DLC, which is the new character for free, right? I mean, that's cool, and they said that there's going to be DLC, but they haven't released, they've only just started telling us about it, and the game's been out a couple of weeks. That's kind of how you do it. I mean, DLC is everybody knows that most games are going to have DLC, and you can kind of say, yeah, we'll have a season pass, but don't start giving us the nitty-gritty of the details at the very least.
Well, I think you can give a detail, but not, like, details like, okay, you know what, we expect to have 4 map pack releases over the course of, like, 4 months, so that you have an idea of what to expect if you buy. Like, I wouldn't buy a season pass if they just be like, trust us, we have content that's coming, and don't give you a breakdown of when or whatever. But, I mean, is there a company you think that does DLC well?
Rockstar. That's exactly what they just. That's what exactly what they did. They said we're gonna have a season pass, and we're gonna have seven or so or whatever piece of DLC over this period of time. And this is these are kind of time zones we're gonna try and hit for them.
Okay, yeah. I was actually gonna go with Valve.
And it's easy to say Valve does DLC correctly because wherever possible, Valve makes the DLC free.
Well, I mean, not just free, but they tend to. It's not like they tend to do it at a time where I think it makes sense and it kind of creates interest in a title. Like, it's not like, okay, here's a title we launched, here's DLC. It's kind of like, you know what, you haven't paid your copy of Left 4 Dead 2 in quite some time. Here's a whole new map and campaign for you. Here's some more story details for you. And it's like, oh, I'll pick this back up. Like, you know, and it's usually hits during the summer or Team Fortress 2 case. They had that whole series where the DLC became a metagame to people. Because, like, Meet the Team stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
And you know, it does help that most of it is free. I think, you know, Microsoft, I think I actually like one free DLC thing, and they've done that. And I've only been mentioned the Orange Box on the 360, which has like nothing from the PC version, which is kind of sad, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and I'd also put Rockstar as a good example of it, just for how they did it with GTA 4 and Red Dead in terms of single-player DLC, where in GTA you made it, you know, they were each standalone stories that, like, stood apart very well, distinctly, both in terms of storyline and mechanics from the main game, and on top of that, in the case of the GTA ones, were pretty damn awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, Rockstar and Valve are two prime examples when trying to model your DLC campaign. I think, and this is another, I don't know the Assassin's Creed price offhand, but I do know that somebody announced one that's $50.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if your season pass is the same price as a game, that it's probably going to be really difficult for people to invest in. I mean, at least personally to me, is I don't want to spend $110 up front for a title.
And this is usually why I sort of avoid season passes and stuff. But, you know, obviously I had no... I capitalized on a pricing mistake for Borderlands 2, and I think maybe I would have bought it had it not... Like, I would have finished the game first, at least, before I bought it, if it had been full price the whole time.
And how do season passes? I've never actually, like, can you buy it at any time, or is it like you have to buy it early on?
No, it's you can buy them any time. They may, sometimes people take the season pass away if all the DLCs come out, like, so you can't get the early discount on them. But most of the time it's you buy the season pass and you just get all the DLC. Yeah, it doesn't matter when you buy it.
Okay, I don't really do DLC much, but I was just kind of curious about that. So yeah, season pass for we didn't even actually talk about the actual Assassin's Creed DLC, which I'm trying to remember which historical figure it has.
Is this the one where George Washington becomes King of America?
Yes, okay, the Tyranny of King Washington.
Yeah, that instantly shut it up to my very high of want to buy list.
Yeah, I like the idea of it. I mean, Assassin's Creed is all about time travel, and it doesn't have to be quote-unquote historically accurate. So they're kind of playing around with that with DLC, and I think that's a great idea. If it's like self-contained missions that are like, what if, of alternate U.S. history, I think that would be awesome. And I kind of fully support that. Just announcing this ahead of time just seems sketchy for people. But it sounds like a great idea, and I hope they continue it. And the season pass, when I looked it up, it's like $30. Still out, but, I mean, at this point, you kind of... That's, I guess, average or expected.
I don't know. How many DLCs did they say would be included with that?
I don't know. I just know the season pass is $30, and then the first one is the George Washington stuff. I don't pay attention because I don't know when I'm going to buy this game. So maybe I'll get maybe I'll wait for the Game of the Year edition, which comes with all of this stuff, for about the same price. So yeah, that's Assassin's Creed, that's DLC, that's Season Pass. Nintendo also hosted like 500 Nintendo Directs this week.
500.
I thought like every like 2 weeks or so, I'm seeing people talking about Nintendo Direct. I'm like, what's going on? They used to be like once a quarter.
It seems and Nintendo has to do better at this. It seems like they originally started off as Nintendo Directs, and now they're doing what they call Nintendo Direct Minis, which are Nintendo Directs kind of focused on a single title. And this week alone, we had one for Mario New Super Mario Brothers 2, so they can announce the DLC for North America and Europe and stuff like that. Then they had a Nintendo Direct in Japan to announce all the details for Animal Crossing, Jump Out, I think it's called. And then they had a European Nintendo Direct to announce the 3DS stuff for the rest of the year. So it's like, you know, like they could have just done like one big Nintendo Direct instead of doing three separate ones, especially being that each one was like a different territory. But we, you know, we touched on the Mario stuff. The DLC is already out. And you don't have to watch that, but it's out there. The second one was the Animal Crossing one. And they announced a lot of cool things about Animal Crossing, I guess. I don't really care for Animal Crossing, so I have no idea.
You pagan.
did I just get called a pagan?
Yeah, you did.
Yes.
You did. He's right.
I have to know, what is the appeal of Animal Crossing?
I'll tell you what the appeal is. The appeal is, especially about this one, about just being able to... The appeal of the game itself is just being able to just, you know, boot it up, relax, just, you know, go around your town, talk to people, run some favors, do a little bit of fishing, and you also get a little OCD completion by collecting a bunch of fish or bugs or, you know, making your house better. It's just relaxing. And why I'm excited about it for 3DS is because, A, it's portable, so you can just, you know, you can just boot it up and then check on your town for 10 or 15 minutes, go do a couple things, and then you can do. And what I'm most excited about is the fact that it's going to be downloadable. So instead of, you know, switching out the cartridge to check it for that 10 or 15 minutes, you just boot up your 3DS, turn it on, and you're ready to go.
Okay, so it sounds like I get to be an old person.
Yeah, you get to be an old person and enjoy life. Sorry, Earl.
But you get to learn about loan sharks.
Yes, you get to learn
about... Yeah, you kids got to learn about real estate.
Yes, even though I believe in this game you're allowed to, you build your own shops.
Can you make Mr. Rossetti the mayor?
I think you are the mayor, are you not?
You are the mayor. I was hoping that you'd pass the power to Mr. Rossetti.
Mr. Rossetti needs to be in more video games. He should be there for Rage Quitters.
Oh my god, that would be great. That's for a tweet, sorry.
That actually would be awesome. The next time you turn on Halo after Rage Quit and Mr. Rossetti shows up.
So good.
Or you're like playing a Black Ops 2 match and you leave in the middle and he just comes up and yells at you for several minutes. On
the yeah, and that's the more you Rage Quit, the more he talks.
Yes!
But, like I said, I don't get Animal Crossing. I mean, it's nice that it seems to be adding a lot of stuff because I heard... That was one of the big complaints about the Wii version, is that it didn't really add anything to the experience. So this one seems to be adding a lot. It's changing a lot of the foundation. And it also seems to evolve the story, where it's a continuation of the older Animal Crossing games, with certain characters growing up or retiring. So that's kind of nifty. And Anthony alluded to this as well. One of the announcements that they made at these 50 Nintendo Directs is that they've already kind of went forward with retail titles getting digital releases. New Super Mario Bros. New Super Mario Bros. 2 was the first one in North America. Japan has Oni Trainer, which is Brain Training 3, I think. But they also announced that I don't know if it's available now, but most of their retail titles from the previous year are now available digitally as well, so that includes Super Mario 3D and Mario Kart 7, Ocarina of Time 3DS, and Star Fox 3D. The problem with that, though, is that they didn't seem to account for the fact that it's been over a year for most of these games, and it's still $40.
Nintendo, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I think it would...
To be fair, every company has that problem with digital pricing.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, it wouldn't even be such a big deal to me if they have, if they implanted the Wii U's like Nintendo Premium. I think that's a cool idea, but it's, you know, like, at this point, like, it's the, I mean, granted, those games will continue to sell, but they're over a year old. You could probably knock it down to $30 or something like that. It's not like you have to pay for shipping or shelf space or anything like that.
Or a box.
Or a box. But as Anthony said, there are a lot of games, I think, that are just suited for having a digital copy. I think Mario Kart's a perfect example, because Mario Kart is something you can play at pretty much any time. Animal Crossing is another one. If they ever do it, Tetris would be great on that.
Yeah.
So yeah, they are.
I mean, I love having physical copies. I love having a shelf full of boxes. Like, I wish that I could get a box with a code in it to download it.
I'm sure somebody's going to make your dreams come true. But yeah, I do think there are a lot of franchises, and I hopefully maybe further down the line they will come out with a unit that has more space, so that it's, you know, for most people, the 3DS does come with like 4 gigs, which is decent enough, but it would be nice if they expanded that going forward. In addition to the digital titles, they also announced in Japan they have 3 bundles coming out. They have a Jack Monster Hunter bundle, they have an Animal Crossing 3D Special Edition 3DS coming out with Jump Out, and they have a new Super Mario Bros. 2 3DS coming out as well. They asked to have a special design to them, which is basically like stickers on the device, and the Monster Hunter 1 is just a black 3DS. And all three of these games, I believe, come pre-installed on the system, so you don't get a physical copy. And Europe is getting the Mario 1 this holiday season as well. And we are getting nothing, as far as I know.
Bum, 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 bum.
Yep. And finally, they detailed their eShop lineup for the rest of the year, which is looking actually fairly impressive. They announced eShop titles, which include Viridity 2, which I think is called Spin Cycle. They announced Guild 0.01, I think, which was a Japanese compilation of like 5 different games made by various studios, and they're releasing them as single eShop titles. There's one called Crimson Shroud, I think, which is made by Suda51.
I know that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey.
He has to make money somehow. The other two is, I think one is like Aeroport, which looks like a really odd, I don't know what you would call it. I don't know if you've played those airplane games on like your cell phone where you have to like land aircraft into certain zones without making them crash.
Oh yeah.
It's not like that, but
like the one where you click and he ascends, you let go and he descends.
No, I don't. It's kind of like
where you see there'll be like different colored zones and there'll be different colored planes that fly into the screen, and you have to draw a line from the plane to the zone, and you have to make it so they don't crash into each other. Flight control.
Yeah, something like that. But
you know, that's an arcade game now.
Yeah, they also
changed.
And Liberation Maiden. The most exciting piece of news, at least to me, is that they announced a push box, or a pull box if you're European, sequel called Crash Mo in the States. And I thought it was called Fail Box in Europe, but it's actually called Fall Box. I and Elliot look really, really similar up close. But yes, a Push Mo sequel out this November, which is, it's probably one of the best eShop, one of the best 3DS titles available right now. And this is a sequel to, of course, Push Mo, but now instead of just being able to push and pull blocks, they also kind of fall into place. So like, if there's nothing beneath them, they will start to fall down, so that adds a whole new dimension to the puzzles. So I'm excited for that. They also kind of detailed the virtual console for the rest of the year. It seems like we get a game like every 2 weeks.
When the hell are they going to release the freaking Zelda Oracle games? Or better yet, Pokemon Red and Blue. That would be instant money in their pocket.
Well, I assume that they don't want to release Pokemon Red and Blue because they're releasing Black and White 2 today.
Yeah, well,
yeah.
Shut
up. I think also with Pokemon is they'd have to find a way to work in multiplayer into the emulation, which, have they done that in any of the virtual console games on 3DS?
I don't think they've already done it for like one or two Wii titles. I think Street Fighter added online play at some point.
Yeah, that was weird. No one ever spoke of it again.
Yeah, and that was about it. Everything else is kind of emulated straight. It's one of the things they do when they because they prefer 100% emulation instead of trying to mess around with the formula and end up kind of breaking stuff. But
They should be able to add some extra features without a problem.
Yeah, or make it so that but they announced Mario Golf for the each virtual console, which I'm sure people are going to be excited for because they didn't get it on the 3DS yet. Castlevania The Adventure, Ninja Gaiden, Zelda 2, Wario Land 2, and Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels. And they also announced demos, which is kind of cool, but it's so weird that they don't have demos for their own games.
Oh, yeah.
That's something that needs to change.
I think they just assume that people are going to buy their game.
Which is true.
I mean, from a business standpoint, it makes sense to highlight third-party titles because, as people famously say, Nintendo games sell Nintendo consoles. They don't really need to worry about getting an audience for that.
But, I mean, it's not unheard of because you see demos for, for first-party titles at Best Buy and GameStop. Like, specific demo sections of games.
Yeah, like they make demos. They've had Donkey Kong Country, New Super Mario Brothers, Wii, all of those stuff have had demos. So it's not unheard of. They've even done it for the DS. They've had some demos on the DS, but the DS system was so backwards because you had to hook it up to your Wii and all this other nonsense.
It's exciting.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting lineup for the rest of the year, and it really does seem like they're focusing on the eShop and the virtual console, because the 3DS really only has like two major retail titles for the rest of the year, which is Paper Mario Sticker Stars and that other game, that Epic Mickey.
Oh, Layton.
Great. They got Layton, and they also have Brain Train in December, so they have a decent lineup, but it's nothing. And they have
Layton on the same level as Brain Training.
Well, Brain Training is a 20-plus million franchise.
Professor Layton is arguably one of the best handheld franchises that exists.
Plus, he is a classy gentleman.
Yes, he is a gentleman. He had to think. I'm the only reason I'm the person I am right now is because of Professor.
And they also, I think they have something called, what is it, trend setting, fashion savvy?
Oh, yeah.
Style savvy trendsetters, there we go.
Can you wait for that demo?
But that demo's already out, so you can download it on your eShop now. and you can enter their fashion contest. Mm. You can make classy individuals like Professor Ayton.
That reminds me, do you guys know that this came out? I don't know, it slipped under my radar completely. America's Next Top Model on Wii. Oh, that's a local family video.
What do you do in that game?
I don't know. About to find out after this podcast. It got their whole stock.
So I guess that's probably Game of the Month on Wii in October.
Year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Just Dance 4 is out this week. Next week, so I mean, that's probably Game of the.
It's the nail in PC gaming's coffin, honestly. America's Next Top.
I really want to know what you do in this game now. It's like one of those. It's like there was an older Wii title that I used to see in GameStop. That was one. I did see videos of it eventually, but there was something called like the Redneck Triathlon.
What?
And it's like there's like a lawn mowing game, and there's a bunch of like idiotic mini games to it.
Is it supposed to be satire, or is it supposed to be serious?
No, it's supposed to be a serious game.
Lawn mowing Redneck. I'm pretty sure everyone has to mow the lawn unless you're in an apartment.
I don't know. I honestly, if I had the money and the time, I would love to go through the Wii sign up and get some of these really, really stupid games. Oh, I think it was called Redneck Jamboree.
I did that with WiiWare demos. I got all the demos and just enjoyed myself.
But yeah, they're terrible. I mean, yes, in the grand scheme of things, the Wii had a lot of interesting titles just because it was the yeah. Oh, okay. They had. Wow, there was a series of them. There is a Calvin Truckers Redneck Jamboree, and then there's Calvin Truckers Redneck Racing.
Wow.
So I guess
what to say about that is wow.
Yeah, you can get all three of them plus a perfect shot for only $33.40 on Amazon.com.
Has that company gone public yet? Like stocks?
I don't. What is it called? Zoo Games. There's also Chicken Riot, Chicken Shoot, Party Pigs, Farmyard Games.
I have not watched any of his stuff, but you guys remember Angry Nintendo Nerd, Angry Video Game Nerd? That sounds like something. Chicken Shit. He'd be reading Chicken Shoot.
Chicken Vasta, Remington Super Sam, Hunting Africa.
What?
Jeep Trails, and Rio'd.
These aren't actual titles anywhere. You're just putting together words.
No, these are actual games.
I don't believe you.
No, some company greenlit it, and then there's a development team that made it.
And there are people that bought them.
It's real.
Yes, they continue making these stuff.
There are people that parted with a portion of their paychecks to have those green childs.
Redneck Jamboree.
This sounds like a money laundering scheme to get rid of the mob cash. It's like, how do we get rid of all this? Gotta make Redneck Art Jam.
I really wish I had the time to just sit, not even like finish them, just kind of like touch them and see how they are. But yes.
Sounds like an Extra Life project.
That would actually be an awesome idea for Extra Life. Just playing a bunch of crappy Wii games for charity.
I'll do it. Man.
I would do it too, but honestly, I don't want to have people watching pay video games for 24 hours.
I think it'd be fun. I just want to see, like, the two people that are watching, knowing that they are taking the time out of their day to watch me play some shovelware.
You should do it. It's in 2 weeks. Yes. Nintendo also had some details about Paper Mario, Sticker Star, out November 11th. You can look around. We won't get into that too much because we are running short on time, and we do have one major announcement we have to talk about, which is the departure of one Kiefer Buzinski from Epic Games.
Did he take his ego with him? Does anybody know? Or did he leave it at Epic?
He's a very good-looking guy. I mean...
Okay, that's all we're going to say. Good night. But yeah, it's not just him departing. I mean, he's been with the company. I think he founded the company, or he's helped with it. Oh,
at any rate, I think he's been there since the beginning, probably.
Yeah, he's helped with Unreal, and of course Gears of War recently. It's a huge departure for them. As far as I know, he hasn't really announced any plans to do anything else in the gaming for the interim, so he's taking a break, kind of like the docs from BioWare.
Yeah.
And I've heard he's not the first person to leave from Epic.
No, Rod Ferguson, which was a very high up guy.
And somebody else as well. I think there's been three major departures from
Epic. I wonder if there's like any internal politics going down that people are just sick of, or whether it's just...
I think at some point, like, some of these companies are probably just kind of becoming too big to to be creative anymore. Like, you can't, if you're a company the size of Epic,
one of the founding people of People Can Fly left as well recently.
Yeah, and at some point maybe we'll get a super company. We'll have Kiffy. We'll have the doctors from BioWare. We'll have what is it, Wada from the Asgardian development team? Uda? Is that his name?
Fumito Uda, I think it is.
Yeah. Just kind of like form a super team.
They're all just going to assemble together.
And they'll get to make the games they want to make that they haven't been able to make. I'm not a huge fan of his personality. I think he's a bit brash, and as Anthony pointed out, egotistical. Which isn't a bad quality because you want somebody who's confident in their product, but it does kind of get annoying. It's kind of like David Jaffe, who I like when he talks, but he tends to not shut up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he will be missed in that regard. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of Gears of War franchise. I'm not as much a fan of everything being made on the Unreal Engine, but it is what it is. So I think it will be a huge departure. I'm kind of curious to see what Epic does without him. I mean, even early word on, like, Gears of War Judgment isn't... It's not negative, it's not positive, it's just people saying it sounds... It feels like more Gears of War.
Yeah.
So, I mean, any other thoughts on his departure?
I know, it'd be interesting to see what he does when he comes back, because he's probably not going to leave forever.
No, I don't think so. I heard one word, which I think would be interesting, you know, I wouldn't be on board for the idea, is that he might, he might start a consulting company for Japanese developers to help them westernize their game design.
That would be interesting to see the result of that at the very least.
Yeah. Like I said, I wouldn't be on board with it because I think Japan's biggest problem right now is they're trying to be too much like the West.
Yeah.
And they don't need help in that regard. They need help in finding their identity, because you're not going to win a race by following behind somebody and hoping they trip.
You might trip yourself like Capcom.
Yeah, exactly. But is there anything else you folks want to say about this?
Well, it's certainly interesting just to see someone who's, you know, regardless of what you say about him, clearly one of the most prolific voices in the industry. So it's really, you know, sort of sad to see him go, but really curious to see where he'll go from next and where Epic will go for next. Because other than Judgment, are they working on anything?
They're Fortnite. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that existed.
And I imagine Unreal Engine 4, they probably have a big game.
Well, Fortnite's going to be the first UE4 game. So.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was... Okay. But it's kind of... It's Unreal 4 and 3, because I think it's on both engines. So it's... just to show the scalability. And it's going to be interesting, because I don't think that's the type of game that you kind of use to... It's not the type of game people traditionally associate with showcasing the graphical engine, just because it's a more cartoony style.
Yeah, I think when we get closer to Unreal 4 Engine finishing up, we'll see a more substantial thing that they have working on. Like, that Samaritan demo they showed off, I would be very, I think it's very likely possibility that we'll see that turn into some kind of full game.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we will, but I mean, part of it is also the fact that this generation is taking its sweet time, and people aren't really being able to show off anything because they have...
No new hardware.
Yeah, and I assume Microsoft and Sony are trying to keep them hush, because you don't want people stealing your thunder before you can actually show off your platforms. So yeah, there you go.
Yep.
Yeah. So is there anything else you folks want to touch on before we begin to wrap?
Not that I'm aware of.
Seems to be it.
Okay, then there are several interesting things you can check out on the website. As James mentioned and Anthony joked about, Extra Life is coming up. I believe it's Saturday, October 20th. It's a great cause. You get to support a local children's hospital, and you get to watch people make a fool of themselves playing video games for 24 hours. I believe James is doing one.
I am, and I'm thinking, trying to figure out what I might be playing. So, if you happen to help me donate past my goal, I might happen to take your suggestion. I might even play Atari 2600 ET if I can find a way.
He's going to play a bunch of crappy Wii shovelware for your enjoyment.
Yes. Live. Superman 64.
Redneck Jamboree.
Are you doing this with friends or on your own?
I'm not sure if they're necessarily participating, but at any rate, they'll probably be there for part of the time anyway. So I'll force them into it to keep me awake.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean that's my big. I can't stay up for 24 hours. I'm just not that young anymore. But if I had people I like my sleep. I'm okay with that attitude. I've had my days of sleepless nights. But yes, there is a link up on the website for the various people I know who are doing it right now. James is doing it, and then we have three other teams on the site. You know, so it's worth checking out. Donate, help them, suggest games. I always recommend like motion games because motion games tend to be a lot more entertaining to people watching than seeing somebody just sit around with a controller. Except if it's a bad game, because then you get to watch their reactions. And then yesterday I put up, and this will go until next week, so hope you check it out. I put up a Name That Tune contest on the website with 50 song samples from current gen titles. I wanted to do an article focused on game music, but I needed some type of research. So this is my way of making it more enjoyable for people instead of just asking them questions. So, I mean, even if you don't get all, and if you get all 50, I think we're giving away like a $10 gift card to your downloadable service of choice.
If you get 50, I'm going to be really impressed.
Yes, if anybody gets all 50, well, the first person to get all 50 wins. If you don't get all 50, it's whoever has the most out of the 50 by the deadline, which is Saturday at midnight Eastern Standard Time. I will be honest with you, if I did not have a master of this, and if I did not put the songs together myself, I would not be able to guess all 50. Even listening to them this morning after I did it last night, I couldn't figure out all of the songs. So. And there's a reason for that. It's not that I wanted to be a douche and pick songs that nobody would get, but it's for my research. So I had to pick an assortment of games, and after this, I'll break it down hopefully on next week's show if I have the time. As for next week's show, I am going to New York Comic Con this week, so hopefully I get to go hands-on with more of the fall's big titles, like stuff that are not coming. I don't know. I know PlayStation's there. They have All Stars. They have The Last of Us. I think they have Beyond Two Souls. I hope Nintendo's there with the Wii U. I hope they should be. It's a month before the system comes out.
Nintendo should be there because they were at Eurogame with the Wii U, so...
Yeah. And if not, Nintendo has also set up a demo station at Nintendo World Store. Right now that OE has, I think, Rayman Legends, which I think is an odd game to pick because it's not a launch title. But...
You know, it was on their website for a while. It was actually listed with a November 18th release, and I got excited. It was after they announced all, like, it was after their big Nintendo Direct. Like, it had November 18th, 2012 on their website, and I got excited, but apparently they changed it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense from a business standpoint that you stay away from Mario, because that is your direct competition, and let's be honest, as nice as Rayman Legends, it's not Mario. And they're also doing Rabbids Ant for launch, so that would kind of be doubling up on the Rayman brand anyhow.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have Rayman Legends. I'm hoping, because I've seen video of it, there's other games, but the demos aren't unlocked. So hopefully, if they unlock that, I can go hands-on with the Wii U again. But until then, I want to thank Daniel, Anthony, and James for joining us this week. This has been Dual Wielding Episode 84. Thank you.